One of my favorite authors is John Ortberg, and he tells a very humorous story about a man that was a denominational minister, and his job was to travel out in rural communities and help with funerals. They just didn't have a lot of funeral homes out there, so their work was so welcomed. He would go out with an undertaker, and they would drive together in the undertaker's hearse. Well, one time, on the way back from one of those little country funerals, John, the friend of Ortberg, got really, really tired. It had been a really difficult day, full of funerals. So he decided he needed a nap. So he climbed back into the hearse, and he laid down on the gurney there to take a little nap. Well, the driver was driving along, and he knew his friend was back there. He could hear him snoring. And he looked down, and all of a sudden, he thought, "We're almost out of gas. I better pull into a gas station." And so he did. He pulled in, and it was back in the days when you had a gas attendant. They would come out, and they would fill up your car, check your oil, wash your windshield, always tell you you needed an oil filter. And so he came out, and he began to fill up the car. And then he looked into the back of the hearse, and he saw this body laying there. And he became really, really uneasy at seeing the body lying there. Well, he kept on filling the tank with a queasy stomach, and Ortberg's friend woke up from his nap, and he sat up, and he waved to the guy and knocked on the window, and the guy vanished in a puff of smoke. They said they had never seen somebody run so fast. The man got up and ran because he thought he saw death, but instead, he saw life. Well, come with me this morning. We're going to go and meet another man. His name is Ezekiel, and he's about to have a conversation with God. Ezekiel was a young and faithful prophet, and it was his job to witness to the Jewish people who were in captivity. It was his job to tell him what the Lord had to say. So God says to Ezekiel, "Come with me, Ezekiel. We're going to go into the land of the dry bones. I have something to show you." Immediately, Ezekiel was transported into the middle of a massive valley under the power of the Spirit, or in what we would call a prophetic vision. As the prophet gazed all around his surroundings, he was standing among the disjointed bones of people who had been dead for a very, very long time, possibly starved to death when King Nebuchadnezzar came and encamped around the city of Israel. He literally starved them to death. The whole scene resembled the valley of the shadow of death. The brittle dry bones had been exposed to the elements for years and years, and they had been bleached white by the sun. It was an eerie sight, to say the least. But then God asked something even stranger. He says, "Move around and around in these bones, Ezekiel." And as he does, he feels the bones rubbing up against his legs, bones of people that once lived. So as he's moving through the bones, the Lord asks his servant a very, very unusual question. "Son of man, can these bones live?" Excuse me. Wide-eyed, with the look of youth on his face. Ezekiel doesn't answer yes. He doesn't answer no. He answers in a great way, "Oh Lord, only you know." He's not willing to make a hasty affirmation, but he's not denying that the Lord cannot do everything. How would you answer? How would you answer if the Lord said to you, "Can all these bones come alive in this valley? There are 206 bones in each human body, and there was a whole valley of them. Resurrection of so many bones just seemed impossible." But God had a surprise in store. He's going to shake Ezekiel up. God said, "Prophesy or preach to these bones and say to them the word of the Lord." In other words, God tells him to preach the word of the Lord over the dry, dead skeletons. And he says, tendons will be attached and flesh will come up on them and they will be brought back to life. Ezekiel is very obedient and he does what he's told. And all of a sudden he hears a rattling and a clanging. And all of a sudden that echoes through the valley and the bones begin to come together in their rightful place. Tendons appeared and skin began to cover them. Wait, did you happen to catch something there? God's word has the power to put dry bones back in order. Hold that thought. But the bones just laid there. Life had not yet entered them. Ezekiel, God said, "Preach to the breath. Come, four winds, and enter into them that they may have life." And once again, Ezekiel does exactly what he is told to do. And the Spirit of the Lord enters the bodies, and they stand up, a vast array of people who had once been dead are now standing. And then God explains everything to him. He says, "The dry bones represent Israel. And I want you to know it will be restored just as you have seen. And I'm going to put my spirit in the people, and they will be settled in their own land." And you know what? A little later, Ezra and Nehemiah make their way from captivity and begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Hope was restored. Now, I cannot put words into the scripture, but I can just imagine that Ezekiel got all shook up when he looked out and saw all of those bones come together. I can just imagine him jumping up and down, singing and dancing and saying, "What an awesome God we have." I'd like to think that he got so shook up that he ran to the people immediately, telling them what was going to happen, that Israel was going to be restored. You see, he expected death, but instead he saw life. We all know what those dry bones feel like, don't we? The time when we face issues that leave hardly any life in our bodies. It may be a death or the loss of a relationship or finances gone south, serious illness, poor judgment, lack of faith, debilitating depression, or battles we cannot win at home or at work. You can fill in your own dry bone story. During those times, I don't know about you, but I just want to roll over and give up. There's not any life left in me. Well, we kind of feel like Elijah under the broom tree. Whenever he was chased by Queen Jezebel, he goes under the broom tree and he cries out, "I've had enough. I'm no better than my ancestors. Go ahead, just take my life. I have had enough. Well, I've had enough sometimes, and I feel like I'm at the end of my rope, and I get at the end of my resources, and I may yell, I can't take any more, Lord. I can't take any more. I just feel like I want to die. N.T. Wright, that famous theologian and writer, said, we don't need to be surprised if living as Christians brings us to the place where we find that we're at the end of our resources and we are called to look at the God who raises people from the dead. I know a young man who also lived in the valley of dry spiritual bones, financial devastation, and relational chaos. He was 100% that God would never be able to raise up any part of him. He was dry and he was brittle and he was totally without hope. No matter how hard he tried, nothing in his life worked at all. He cried out to his friends and family, I have had enough. My resources are dwindling. He laid in the bones, with the bones in the dry valley for a very, very long time. But one day, as a last-ditch effort, he decided that he was just going to sneak a little peek into the Word of God. He wouldn't look at it long. He would just look in there and see if there was anything that would help his dry bones. And you know what? He started reading chapters after chapters. And whenever he found something uplifting, he wrote it on his hands so that when he went to work, he could look down and see those uplifting scriptures on his hands. Well, he kept on going, and then he thought of questions that he had because he was doing all this reading. So he consulted a trusted friend, and that friend began to answer questions for him. One day he got up, he packed his lunch, he put it in a lunch kit, and he just happened to grab his Bible, and he took it out to the car with him so that during his break, his lunch break, he could eat his sandwich and he could keep reading the Word of the Lord. Before long, he had almost read all of the New Testament. He began to associate with people in his neighborhood, people who had hope and people who kept encouraging him and saying, hang in there, you have an awesome God. He can dry up those old nasty bones. Well, one day he ventured into a church, and he loved the music, and he loved the uplifting message from the pastor. And guess what? He went back again. And one day during that church service, he asked the Lord to come and put his spirit in his heart and take up residence in his life. Later, he met this incredible young Christian woman, and she has helped him kick the rest of the dry bones out of his life. He's a totally different person. There's life in him. God has helped him get his spiritual life back together. He's paid off all kinds of his bills, and he cherishes the relationship he has with his faithful wife. The impossible became possible. He expected death, but life showed up. And you know, that shakes people up. Whenever life shows up and you're expecting death, that will shake you right up. He will tell you now, he has been resurrected. Oh, come with me to another place. This time we're going to go to a city up on a hill, the holy city of Jerusalem. The atmosphere right now has been like the valley of the dry bones. Death has raised its ugly head again, and Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, has been crucified. All hope for the heartsick, disillusioned, and shattered followers, it's all but vanished. The gut-wrenching pain is so severe that they think they just want to roll over and give up. They're at the end of their resources. Jesus did say that he would rise up on the third day, but everybody knows that dead bodies don't walk out of tombs, or do they? It's early in the morning, and it's still dark outside, and Mary is making her way to the tomb. It's all she can do to muster up the strength to take even a little step to get there, and her sobs are echoing down through the valley. And when she arrives, the stone has been rolled away, and she takes off running as fast as she can go because she's all shook up. And she goes back to Peter and John and tells them what has happened. And can't you hear them? They're saying, "What did you say? Well, who rolled away the stone?" Well, that news shakes them up too, and they start running, and they go to the tomb and they peer in, and Jesus is not there. They're still expecting death, but they're hoping deep down for life. But they go back where they came from, and Mary stays put. And then something happens that would make chills run up and down any of our spines. She looks in, and there are two angels who are questioning her. "Why are you crying?" they said. And as she turns around, she sees what she thinks is a gardener. "Where have you put his body?" she asked. "Just let me know where his body is." And then she hears her name, Mary. There's no doubt who it is. It's the very Word of God standing there, resurrected, moving, speaking. And the dryness in her bones begin to dissipate, and she's filled with joy and confidence, and she takes off running. "I have seen the Lord." You see, when you expect death and life shows up, that shakes people up. Ezekiel expected death in the valley of the dry bones, but he saw life. My friend expected death, but he is experiencing life again. And some days, I think he just wants to run and sing and dance. Mary and the disciples and the others expected death, but they saw life. And it has absolutely transformed the whole world. Universities and hospitals and charities and organizations are all built on his name. That shakes people up. When you begin to run and tell others about Jesus, that will shake people up. Well, as a matter of historical record, his followers, after receiving his Spirit, went on to face all kinds of difficulties. They suffered. They were put in prison because they wanted to share the good news of what they believed. When they thought they were experiencing death, they saw life. The very same God that brought the dry bones back together, the same God brought my friend back to life, and the same loving God, faithful, forgiving, he brought Jesus back to life too. The good news is he's here today, and he is ready to put life back into you. You just need to ask him, "Put life back in me today. Wherever those dry places are, fill them up. Fill them up. Get filled up with the Word. Get filled up with the Spirit, and they will lift up the dark places of your soul." If you have the Word without the life-giving Spirit, you're going to dry up. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you're going to blow up. But if you have the Word and you have the Spirit, you're going to grow up. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Elvis Presley sang a great song, and it hit the Billboard Hot 100 on August 13, 1957. And it's called, "I'm All Shook Up." The second verse says, "My hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you thank when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up." It's not luck. It's a gift, friends. We should be so in love with the Savior this morning that we thank Him for such a priceless gift. To grow up in His love and His never-ending forgiveness and the gift of salvation and the always assurance of eternal life. That is a priceless gift. And that's what growing up in the Christian faith is all about. My friends, leave your dry, brittle bones here today and walk out of the tomb that has held you so tight for so long. Go out and rely on the God who has the power to raise the dead, the God who can and will put life and breath back in you and give you hope and give you a future. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you that you're always willing to reach into those dark places in our life, those dry bones, and fill it up with your presence. Help us to leave here overjoyed today that you have come out of the tomb. Help us to go out and tell other people the good news about Jesus. Father, we ask that you again would just resurrect those dead parts of us so that we can continue to live a life of joy and hope and a great future. It's in your precious name we pray. And now we lift up the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand and sing?